Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Are You Fit, a show all about promoting health and instilling togetherness. I'm your host, Michaela, and joining me tonight is Harvey Kraft. We're talking about ringtones of consciousness, sensing with your mind. Harvey Kraft is a spiritual archaeologist, and he's also the author of The Buddha from Babylon and The Waker, Portal of Perfect Light, sharing his insight on consciousness and what he means by ringtones of consciousness. Part of wellness is caring for our spiritual selves and being mindful to consciously align ourselves with our desires. Welcome, Harvey. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, it's great to be here, and thank you, Michaela, for inviting me on your show.
Thank you, thank you. I'm so glad and honored to just share what your knowledge and what you're doing with our listeners tonight. So I just kind of wanted to start off by asking if you wouldn't mind telling our audience a little bit about yourself and how do you define a spiritual archaeologist?
Okay, well, I'm a writer, I'm an author, but at the same time, I've done a lifetime of research on Eastern philosophy, and so I think I bring a unique Western and modern perspective to ancient history, and especially history from a spiritual perspective. So you're asking me about spiritual archaeology. It's actually a way of looking at human history through a different kind of lens than we're used to doing. So many people today wonder how true is the history that we study in school, right? That's a legitimate concern because, as most of us figured out, the history that we inherited was shaped largely by powerful political and military, economic and religious authorities. So that's why we learn about the past through the eyes of power, which is a view that perpetuates divisions between people and usually tends to shrink our appreciation of the grand aspects of evolution that human beings have achieved. So spiritual archaeology looks at history by examining the greatest ideas we ever had. It reverses the standard academic focus on rulers and battles, and instead it seeks to unveil inspirational visions, creativity, and wisdom that have truly shaped us human beings and what makes us really more than just another animal that is looking to survive. So through the eyes of seer sages and the ancient authors of wisdom and the architects of human thought, spiritual archaeology is used to explore the roots of our beliefs and philosophies, which in practice, we can all see are still so influential in shaping our world today. So, for example, a spiritual archaeologist would want to know how old are our beliefs and how did they originate? How did beliefs shape history and which ones are still influencing us today and how? Or something I'm particularly interested in, which is the connection between modern scientific and ancient visionary concepts, where the two of them intersect. So to form a picture of what really went on back when, I've used the connection of a range of fields of study, like a connect the dots across cultures, across geography, language, and timelines. So as I was doing that research, I have to admit that I was shocked to learn that the East and the West have a common foundation. Now the world is beginning to engage among all cultures because of the internet primarily. And we really need to have a better understanding of our mutual spiritual roots, because there's been so many divisions between cultures that people out there will have you believe that we're almost like we developed on two different planets. So what I want to do basically is go deeper into what I found with spiritual archaeology, and my particular focus has been to peel back the veil of the enlightenment of the Buddha. So is that something you want me to talk about just briefly, or should we move on?
You know, yeah, Harvey, I think that wouldn't be a bad thing. I just wanted to touch on a little bit about what you just said, and I wanted to say thank you for giving that explanation, because I think, you know, sometimes we look at a title and it's better to kind of get the own definition from the person that's using it, so we get where you're coming from, your context. And I love the kind of view and the mindset on how you are reviewing our past and our history, because that, I think what you said was so key, and I've never had anybody come on yet to say what you've said in the way you've said it, that, you know, history has been written, or what we know of it has been at the hands of those that are in power. So we are not getting the full story, and I think that's important to know. So I just love the way that you are going about looking at things and piecing things together. And so, yeah, I would love for the audience to hear a little bit more about the Buddha and your take on it and what you've learned.
Thank you. So, like what you just said, for example, we know that we have pharaohs in Egypt, but we don't really know very much about the priests around the pharaohs that influenced the pharaohs to believe that they could be reincarnated in another world. So it would be kind of important to sort of get into what the belief system is and where it came from, if you're really going to understand why the pharaohs did what they did. So in the same vein, you might have heard about the Buddha through the traditional Buddhist legend that he's a divine-like figure who lived some 2,500 years ago, which is even older than the time of Jesus Christ. And when I first heard it, it left me wondering if there ever was such a person, or was he just a character in the story, which some academics to this day claim is the case. So, of course, the problem with their view is that if he was not real, you'd have to ask, so then who else came up with the enlightened visions of Buddhism? The descriptions of his visions and insights were recorded in Buddhist literature, which was written in a mythological wisdom language of ancient seers. That's a language you could see in the Bible, you could see in sacred documents, across the very early part of human development. So after decades of digging into it, I discovered that not only was the Buddha a real person, but I found evidence of an untold biography that actually, in my view, is much more exciting than what's been handed down. And so I wrote The Buddha from Babylon in order to resurrect this lost history. And so the evidence in terms of spiritual archaeology has pointed to a highly educated, brilliant, and world-renowned, I mean known leader who eventually became the Buddha. And I found that he was aware not only of his own visions, but aware of a wide spectrum of beliefs that existed during his lifetime from the Mediterranean to India. And contrary to traditional Buddhist legends that paint a picture of a man isolated from society and either living in his father's cloistered estate or living among mendicants in the forest, I learned that he actually had vast experience as a leader who had to deal with the consequences of conquest and domination and oppression during his lifetime, which basically explains Buddhist pacifism not as just like, wouldn't it be nice to have this, but as an actual solution to human evolution, okay? And so looking back in time, amazingly enough, the Buddha should be regarded as a genius of unparalleled vision. So you could say that he was humanity's first psychologist, the world's foremost philosopher. You could say that he was a seer, cosmologist, far ahead of his time. And he opened the door to the notion that the mind of any person can be a portal into the universe. And he spoke about the vibrational workings of the mind and its ability to reach well beyond what we think is possible.
That is amazing. It's like, that's so deep, and I can't wait to hear more about that. You know, I think that's a whole nother side that we don't even know about. I just wanted to let the audience know Harvey is actually going to be coming on with me on Wednesday on one of my other shows, Real Talk with Michaela, where you can actually hear him discuss this more in depth, because we will be going over the Buddha from Babylon and the Waker. So just so you know that, if you guys want to check out Real Talk with Michaela next this Wednesday, 5:30 Central, we will catch more there. I just wanted to, before we get in a little further to ringtones of consciousness, Harvey, I just wanted to touch on something that you mentioned, that a lot of the spiritual and religious texts they use is they speak in mythical terms. And I wanted to see if you could address that, because, you know, I think a lot of times people hear this stuff and they just think it's fantasy. Why do you think that they used it in such symbolic terms?
Well, imagine that we had an old language that was lost. We're no longer speaking that language. We no longer understand the language. But when this ancient language, when I say language, I mean mythological language, was created, the people who created it would go into meditative trance, which is kind of a dream state or a trance state. Okay. And just like, you know, in your dreams, the dreams speak in symbolic language. And within that symbolic language, there are meanings and insights. So they took that experience and they turned it into the earliest form of literature, where they're not fantasizing, they're not talking about just imaginary stuff, but they are being creative in terms of taking symbolism and actually also taking historical events, but they didn't feel like writing factual information was as important as embedding wisdom for the sake of the future. So these mythological sacred literature were a gift sent to the future, so that in the future we would be able to go back in there and extract from them the lessons that they wanted to convey to us.
I like that. I like being able to perceive it that way, you know. Thank you for sharing that. So getting back, I wanted to say, what do you mean by ringtones of consciousness? Because when I just hear ringtones, I'm thinking like something on my smartphone, you know. What are we talking about when we're talking about that?
Yeah, it's kind of a clever use of words. I agree with you. But
yes.
Let me just say that when the Buddha was teaching, he said that we are all capable of enlightenment, which was an intriguing idea to me. And so I wondered if this was kind of an idealistic view or actually possible. So I've now come to understand that when he was saying that we are all inherently enlightened to a degree, he was really speaking about our ability to be conscious. And so let me make this one point clear about what I mean when I say conscious in a meaningful way. Everything that each of us hears or feels or believes has to go through our mind and the filters that each of us has created in our minds. So as a result, whatever you take in and adopt into your life experience is determined by how it fits into your worldview, or in other words, how you make sense out of it. So there's this interactive relationship between you and your inner being and your external situation. So why does that happen? So if you remember, I'm talking now to anyone listening, if you remember nothing else from this program, try to remember these three things. First is consciousness is a sense, and that your mind, number two, your mind is a sensory organ. And number three, your perception is a sensation, okay? So in other words, consciousness is a sense that you use to align your inner thoughts, emotions, and desires with the world around you. So we all know the five senses, but we also have a sixth sense that your mind uses to recognize and differentiate your experiences. So try looking at consciousness for a moment as your sixth sense. But unlike what you've heard before, I'm not talking about it as some esoteric talent. Actually, this sense is universal, just like the five senses. We all have six senses. Everybody has it. And it works automatically when it's engaged, just like your other senses do. So, in fact, you're using it right now. Even if you're not conscious of the fact that you're using it to make sense of what I'm saying, that's what's going on here. So it's actually, and this is the point I'm getting to with the ringtones, is it's actually a frequency-based system. Your sensory mind appears to operate using frequencies to explore and detect and figure out what's going on and analyze stuff. And your sense of consciousness uses something like ringtones to probe and identify and align with harmonies or disharmonies within and around you. In other words, it's like a communication thing going on here. Like each one of us is a little broadcast center going, whoop, whoop, whoop. So when yep. I use the word ringtones, I'm not referring to the music clips you mentioned. I mean something right. like a bell. Right? A bell emits a tone at a certain frequency. So think, again, like of a lot of different bells, all different shaped bells, making a variety of sounds. And imagine, if you will, that the world we live in is an orchestration of like a lot, thousands, millions of these kinds of different bells that we are. And
right.
what that's like on a vibrational level is that our minds are interacting with one another through this consciousness system or sense. So, again, just like other senses, this consciousness sense is also fragile and vulnerable. So you could be, from the time of childhood, some people have some intense experiences, and the an individual's ringtones can be damaged or compromised in some way. Just like, let's say, some explosion that you're standing near could hurt your ability to hear. So by the time we get to the adult stage, we can sense, if everything is working right, the difference between honesty or an impossible impending threat, or I feel like something is hidden here, somebody's not telling me the whole story, or something's missing, and so you're sensing that, okay? You're sensing that based on this kind of frequency exchange, which sometimes we call it a visceral reaction. So what's
right, a gut
really
feeling
going on
or something.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I was going to say like a gut feeling. Some people describe it as a gut feeling.
Some people call it a gut feeling. But what's really, really interesting is that this is kind of an internal drive that is constantly seeking the truth. But it can also be the sense of consciousness can also be waylaid because we can get distracted by illusions of different kinds. There are shocks and abusive experiences and unhealthy habits or deceptions that subvert our sense of consciousness. So if somehow you manage to grow up with this, say, inner compass sort of remaining intact or you've recovered a healthy consciousness after you've had a wake-up call, you're more likely to be able to be constructive and creative and insightful and be able to identify or sense if there is an effort to dominate you or manipulate your thoughts or emotions. So in actuality, if you have a keen skill to discern the truth, it indicates that your consciousness is working well. But on the other hand, you have to always be alert and humble because you're just that close to fooling yourself. So the ability underlying your mind's operation of the sixth sense is that these ringtones or consciousness tones are enabling you to conceptualize, realize, perceive, analyze, and update your mindset so that the totality of your consciousness is able to develop, hopefully, to a higher level. I hope that made sense.
It does. I also had a question. I wanted to see if this is like an example of using our frequencies. You talked about us all having like our different bells out there. Would that be one of the reasons why, you know, we will resonate or attract certain people into our lives?
Absolutely. There is harmonic resonance on all kinds of levels, including the individual level. Everything like your family you resonate with or you have a breakdown in resonance. It's a function of what and who you align with. And sometimes the alignment can be very strong, but very short. So I really explored that particular theme in The Waker, but I'll leave it to you to, get back to me and tell me what you thought of that.
Yeah, I can't wait. You guys, like I said, you're going to have to check out Real Talk with Michaela on Wednesday. He's going to be talking about, like I said, the Buddha from Babylon and The Waker. The Waker is a sci-fi book. I'll let Harvey touch on this at the end and kind of give a little intro about it. I'm going to be getting the ebook coming soon. I'm so excited. It's something that hasn't been out there yet. And I think just reading the little brief that I've done so far, I'm like, this needs to be a movie. But jumping back again, Harvey, the other thing I wanted to ask was, you know, this is a wellness show, and, you know, I think this is huge what you're talking about, and it's very important. So I wanted to see, is there any advice that you could share with people on how to maybe hone those skills so that they can listen to that other sense better or activate it better, I guess, if you will?
Yes, I think you put your finger on it when you said about the resonation, okay? And I think we're talking about health. When we're talking about health, much of that, I think people who are exceedingly in the know in terms of what's healing, it has to do with vibrational alignment and resonance, okay? Because where most of the problems that people have in terms of their health are really coming from anxiety, from fear, from various debilitating experiences like the election we're having. So there is so much of that kind of vibrational disharmony and people angry at one another and so on and so forth that causes that has consequence okay? And you could see that it has consequence. All you have to do is talk to people. So by the same token, of course, on the other hand, that means that if you are seeing that, if you become conscious, sense what is going on, and don't just step into it and let yourself be deceived just because you think that it's, you know, you're part of a group that thinks a certain way. You really have to take a step back within yourself, get a hold of your consciousness, and make sure that that ability that you have for truly seeing the truth, and that means that you have to be careful not to fool yourself, that that is what is going to really give you a healthy and long life.
I agree with that. The other thing, I think you kind of answered it, but just in case we missed anything, is there anything else that's important to know about sensory consciousness?
Well, you know, one thing we talked about is that you should think about it as a sixth sense. And at the same time, I just want to leave you with a kind of like a really big thought. And that is that when you think about consciousness, think of your mind as a universe. The universe that we know has three levels of scale, which is the plane of existence, which is our immediate world. Then there is the atomic and subatomic underworld that is too small for us to see. And then there is this mega galactic cosmos that dwarfs us in size. So we actually live in the middle. And similarly, the scale of the mind is composed of conscious levels that we call reality, and then an unconscious world below the surface, and then a superconscious level or higher consciousness that we experience as the beyond. So these three things also the Buddha talked about, having three minds, an individual mind, the shared mind, and the universal mind, all of which are integrated. And so when we talk about consciousness as take it beyond just a tool for relationships or a way to navigate our way through the world, it is actually what we use to be able to evolve. And just like scientific proof shows that the evolution of human beings is based on our ability to be conscious, know that consciousness is not something static. It's expandable. And if you use it and develop it to further your awareness, you can push the envelope of your happiness and your ability to deal with anything that happens in your life. So you can be more conscious or less conscious, and you can be conscious about different things in different ways, and you can be conscious about things that are going on inside you or around you, or even you can be deceived to thinking that something is true when it's not. So there's all these things, but you can't be without consciousness. In other words, it's there. You have it. And so that's your challenge, each person individually, to navigate their consciousness and use it well, just like, you know, seeing well. You know, it's like the difference between 20/20 vision and having very poor eyesight. You know, do whatever you can. If you need to get glasses in terms of a symbolic thing, do whatever you can to improve your consciousness and your own connection to the truth of what life is really about. So that's what I would say is probably the important thing to really understand, because it can determine the quality of our life. So what do you say about that?
I agree. I'm not in any kind of argument. You know, the one thing that I thought about what we discussed in the very beginning, is, you know, we each have our own lens, and that's important too, because people, you know, you don't want to always compare yourselves to others, because we're each are coming from our own, and I think that's important for people to remember. I think my biggest, I know I have lots more, but this is probably the biggest question last that I really wanted to see if we could answer for listeners today to, for them to think about. But for you, what do you think that is very important for people to align their consciousness with their desires? Why is that so important?
Yeah, so of course, let me just say that if you didn't have any desire, you would never get out of bed in the morning. You wouldn't even make it beyond the first day of your life. Desire is the prime mover of existence. Some people want to tell you that some desires are this and some desires that. The important thing about desire is its authenticity. If you have the desire to deceive or to harm, you will ultimately be compromised by it. Your own sense of consciousness will become misshapen, okay? So if you want to have a really powerful sense of consciousness working for you, then your desires have to align with this internal compass of seeking truth. So unfortunately, when people repeat their disharmony, it can cause the entire consciousness system to break down. And you could see that. You could see people who are imploding, you know, call it depression, call it violence, whatever you want to call it, but it's a breakdown of the sense of consciousness. By the same token, consciousness is feeding the neurons in your brain with nutrients that feed the cells in your body. And so when your consciousness is healthy, everything is working right. Some people think of it as psychosomatic, but, you know, basically it's sometimes thought of as mind over matter. But
right.
Just as sometimes if you look at what happens in our health, a cell in your body can be compromised and destroyed when a virus deceives it, fools it, and the cell allows the virus to come in, okay? And so that same kind of deception, if you allow deceptions to come into your mind and ruin your ability to align your desires with truth for you, it's going to compromise you. You're going to not, even if you succeed in getting your desires, they're not going to fulfill you. And that's why a lot of people, they have like an insatiable appetite for their desires, but as soon as they get what they want, they no longer want that, like, you know, a two-year-old. So it's really important to learn from your experiences to be able to say, is this a desire that's meaningful to me, or is this just a manifestation of my anxiety, or I'm trying to impress somebody? So
right.
I think that the alignment of frequencies, the synchronicity, the harmony of desires and the potentials within you are really the clearly the reason why you want your ringtones to be functioning well.
I love that you pointed all that out. What I also loved is just the way you worded things about learning from your experiences. You didn't say anything about being beat up by your experiences or choices. Like, I think that's huge, you know, because a lot of people, they think if they do something what they consider wrong, that's a failure and bad. And it's like, no, like, we can fine-tune. And again, what did we learn from it? So I think that's a big, huge thing right there. You know, Harvey, we got a little bit more time left, but I want to save that for you sharing a little bit about the Waker. Everyone out there listening tonight, I just wanted to let you know there is so much more that we could have touched on tonight about ringtones of consciousness, but I just want to let you know if you want to take the time to digest more of the material, I have the link here for Harvey's article in the show description. along where you can find out more about Harvey's work. It's all on the show description. You can go to his website at buddhafrombabylon.com. You can also connect with him on Facebook and Twitter. That's all on here. And I even have a YouTube video of an interview he did with Steve Toth on Conscious Evolution Media, which is also a great one to look about. It's called How to Explore the Power of New Possibilities. So with that, Harvey, I just want to see if you wouldn't mind taking a little bit of time to share a little bit about The Waker.
Okay. The Waker is a novel that I wrote. And the reason why I wrote it is that in writing The Buddha from Babylon, I wrote about the Buddha having conversations with other Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who are like angels in other worlds, other dimensions, and there are conversations going on between them. And then he describes these other worlds. And so I said to myself, you know, why don't we create a sci-fi story that of a Buddha that's born on another planet, and another planet that is very much near the stage of evolution that our planet is currently in. So that rather than talking about Buddhism, which people get sometimes very narrow-minded about, well, I'm not interested in Buddhism, so that's not for me, or I'm not interested in history, so that's not for me. So whatever ways people want to negate it, well, Buddhism isn't mentioned in The Waker because there's a whole other world that you're going to be introduced to. It's a planet by the name of Sana, and they're under tremendous danger. So this book is actually a revelation that is taking place to a candidate for enlightenment on another planet. And it's pretty exciting because in certain ways it mirrors our own history, and in other ways it opens up the portal of light. So instead of the Buddha sitting under a tree, in this story, the candidate for enlightenment has to locate and go through a certain test and enter the portal of light. And if he is to emerge out of the portal into his planet, he will have everything he needs to know in order to transform his world.
Got goosebumps. Like you said, there is parallels, you know, to what's going on here on our planet, and it's just so deep. I can't even touch on it all the way, especially since I haven't even read it yet. But I mean, just like the glimpses of the hints of the summary that I got to see, it's just I think it's something that is needed right now, and it brings hope, and there's a lot of positive aspects about it. So I mean it's cool that it's sci-fi and all that, and I like that you are encompassing a spiritual aspect to it, but I think it's something that people across the board, whether they're religious or not, that it can resonate with them and bring them hope and a new path for us. So I love the idea, and I'm glad that you wrote something like this for all of us.
Thank you. And people are saying that it's quality literature rather than, you know, kind of a cartoonish views. Sometimes we get like certain sci-fi has you know, lots of equipment and very stilted dialogue, although some of it is really terrific, and especially I love sci-fi myself when it has redeeming themes, that like in Brave New World in 1984 and Star Wars, where we can learn something about who we are as human beings that helps us understand the dangers that we are in, and at the same time have the courage to go forward and know where we need to go and have the wisdom to do it.
Agreed, and I love it. Harvey, I just want to say thank you again so much for just taking the time to be on tonight's show and share your information with the listeners tonight. I really do appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure, and also I have a website which is buddhafrombabylon.com in case anybody wants. It's got a whole ton of info there too.
Exactly. And like I said, everybody, it's right on the show description, so you can find out there, purchase his ebooks there. And again, if you want to hear more of Harvey this week, he is coming on Wednesday, 5:30 Central on Real Talk with Michaela. With that, I just wanted to say, everyone, have a great rest of your week. Take care. Big, big hugs.